listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna. I'll get it out in a minute from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. And we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday afternoon. And we got Miss Margie Swaney with us as well. So we're honored to be here. I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So I'm going to blow a shofar here as we start.
Amen.
And we're coming into a good season called Passover. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. So we're honored to be here with you. And we've been doing this for a lot of years. We've called this program Raising the Standard. So we welcome all you regular listeners. We hear from you from time to time. And I'm sure somebody's listening right now for the first time. So be blessed, not because of Donna and I or Margie, but because we're going to give you the Word of God and what it shows. Yeah. And we do a lot of things prophetically. And I hope you get something out of this. We know you will if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And so we are honored to be here on another Saturday with you. And Donna's got a couple announcements she wants to make before we start. And so I'll turn that over to her. And then we're going to talk about something interesting today. We're going to prove the 7,000-year restoration that God has in the Word of God. And we know Passover is a very important element of all of that to substantiate that time. And as we do, you'll see in the scriptures, we're going to look up a lot of scriptures, and we're not just going to give you the numbers and the chapters. What we want to do is we want to read the verses so that you'll get something out of it. Because it says faith comes by what?
Hearing
the Word of God. And so we have to hear, don't we?
Yes.
So a lot of times I read my Bible when I read it. I read it out loud to myself. So it's going in my ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So Pastor Donna mentioned a few things. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks.
Amen.
Over Andros Island in the Bahamas. We were so thrilled to send them that money. That roof's going on that building. Hallelujah. So you take it over. Go ahead.
Yes, we were able to send them $1,300. So we just praise God. And others, please send in some more funds for Roscoe and Audrey Walks.
That's right.
Andros Island.
They are the Roscoes, aren't they?
And building the temple of God. Well, they're the Walks. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Building
they're
the
They're walking
temple
that
of God.
Island.
That's right. Praise God. Also, for this radio broadcast, too, if you'd like to help out with the finances, we certainly would appreciate that as well. I know that many of you enjoy this broadcast, and it's also on Facebook. Actually, it's on Facebook. If you can go and listen to even some of the past teachings that we have done. Amen. I want to mention that we will be having a Passover Seder on the 20th of this month, 20th mm-hmm. of April. Mm-hmm. That's on a Saturday at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to be part of that and bring something to share, I will give you the phone number, and I'll tell you where we'll be located. And we also have Shabbat today at 2 p.m. So come and worship God with us, because testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
So we meet at 445 Osceola Boulevard in the Alliance Church at 2 p.m.
Street,
right near the hospital, the North Hospital in Stuart, Florida. And it's a little white church on the corner. You can't miss it.
That's right.
And if you come, just come around back and park. Some people look for us at to park out front, but most of the people park in the back, okay, behind, around the side. So praise the Lord. And also we will be having our Passover Seder at the same place at 2 o'clock on April the 20th. Amen. I'll give our phone number if you'd like to contact us, if you'd like to have a copy of the CD, or you can even go back and listen to it on WCNO on their podcast. Amen.
Amen.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 772-285-7007. Amen. Amen, Pastor Gene.
Well, y'all, we might mention also, if you'd like to get a copy of this book I have written about God's prophetic calendar and the seven appointed times that God put in the Word of God for us to learn about the Messiah, we offer that for $25 and maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get that out to you. Make out a check to our ministry name, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's Post Office Box 413-413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. We'll be glad to get it out. We can only cover so much on the radio, can't we, Pastor Donna? And I don't know about you, people who are listening, I'd rather read a book, basically, than go hear a message, because you can't remember everything that's being said unless you keep buying copies of it. But a book, you can go back and review, back and read, and you can read it over and over again. And so that's the good thing about having a book. And so that's why, partly why I wrote this book that we have here for you. It's available, like I said. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, and it's the prophetic pictures of Yeshua the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord, his appointed times. Amen. So we're honored to be here with you, and I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour and have ears to hear what the Spirit of God might be talking to you. So what I want to talk about a little bit today, and then next week we're going to go into some things deeply about the Passover season, but we're going to touch on a couple things here as well today. And so here we are. We're only a few days away now from Passover. And it's interesting, this year on our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, think about it, we have this pagan holiday called Easter falls almost at the exact same time as Nisan 14, which was, what, the day that Yeshua died. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? But here we are. They're real close together this year. But he came, did his work, died for all mankind, rose on the third day on Nisan 17, and now all we have to do is appropriate what the Lord has done for us to be in the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about this 7,000-year program. And if you think about the Bibles, talk about this. In Genesis 1, we have the very first pattern to show you this period of time. 7 days in the beginning, the first 7 days. Each one of those days represents a period of 1,000 years. So we have 6 days of creation, and what happened on the seventh day? God rested. It's a picture of what's going to happen at the end. We're almost finished with 6,000 years. When we get to that point, then Jacob's trouble is going to come, and when that's concluded, we're going to go into the seventh millennium, which is what? The millennial kingdom in the time of rest that God has promised us. So we're going to look at that with you, okay? So let's do some things and think about God's timing in this. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90, and maybe Margie wants to read that. It's verse 4. We're going to read all these verses. Donna, you can go to 2 Peter 3:8 for me.
Praise the Lord.
That'll speed this up a little bit.
For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
So it's 1,000 years with God is like a day, isn't it? What it says. Now, in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter basically says the same thing, Pastor Donna.
Peter says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
There you go. So there we have proof on that. And we have a lot of other Jewish writings. I want to talk about that for a moment. We have the Apostolic Fathers. It's a book that's available, and there's a chapter in it about Barnabas. And in his part of it, chapter 15, verses 3 through 6, he talks about the same thing, about the 1,000-year period. And then we have a thing called the Pseudepigrapha. okay, of the Old Testament. 2 Enoch chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, talks about one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Isn't it amazing when you think about it? And so let's look at some other things now, and we're going to get into the New Testament as well. Let's look at some more examples. Remember in Genesis 7:6, we talked about this either last week or the week before. Noah was 600 years old. What? When the flood came, there's a 6, okay? Now, so I need to have somebody go to 2 Kings 11, and let's read this. I want to read the verses with you. 2 Kings 11, we're going to read 1 through 4, and then we're going to read verse 21 with it. Okay? You got that?
Yes.
All right, so you want to read it, Margie? Chapter 11, 1 Kings, verse 1 through 4.
1 Kings or 2nd?
1 Kings.
Sorry.
Did I say? You're right. I'm wrong. 2 Kings.
Okay.
I got 1 Kings on my mind.
Yes. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years.
There you go, hear that?
And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son.
That's right. So he was revealed after 6 days. It's a picture of 6,000 years again. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at verse 21 in that chapter.
6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. Mm-hmm. We're almost done with 6,000 years right now on this earth that we're on. Let's look at verse 21 in that chapter now, Margie.
7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign.
So here you go. Here's your picture of the 7 years. The rest we're going to have in the future, prophetically, what's going to happen. And so he was hid all those years, and he came out. Yeshua's been hid for a long time, hasn't he? Not yes. Very many people's actually seen him. But one day, we're all going to get to see him, okay? Now, we have another one here. If somebody wants to go to 2 Chronicles now, chapter 9. And this is about King Joash, who was saved from death and coronation as king of Judah. We just talked about that one. But let's look at 2 Chronicles now, chapter 9, verses 17 through 19.
Okay.
2 Chronicles 9?
9, mm-hmm. 17 through 19.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne.
There you go, 6 steps. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. With a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne, and stays on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the stays. Wow. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Mm-hmm. Must have been something to see.
That's right. Amen.
Awesome.
And if you go on down here in this same chapter, verse 17 says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. So there were 6 steps up to the throne, mm-hmm. and in the throne was the 7th step. That's a picture of Yeshua sitting on the throne with our Father in heaven when we see him one day.
The Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah.
12 lions.
Right.
6 on each side.
6 on each side. Now I'm going to show you a couple of exciting ones now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. I could have been turning over there while you ladies were reading this. We've talked about this a lot on this program, but I'll read this real quick.
Okay.
I'm just about there and you're not. 17, 1 through 5 says this, and after 6 days, you got that? Mm-hmm. After 6 days, I always think about 6,000 years, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. He was changed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias or Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So we have a beautiful picture here of the 6 days of 6,000 years. Now this is interesting. When you look at this, what's God showing us? And I think God's showing some interesting things here prophetically. Who appeared? Moses and Elijah. Remember, Moses went by the way of the grave. He died. Elijah was caught off the earth. And then we have Peter, James, and John here. They were there, and they saw this. And Peter popped up when he saw this. He says, we're in the kingdom. Let us make here three tabernacles. So tabernacles is a picture or pattern of what? The kingdom of God. And so we have an example here of how you're going to get into the kingdom. Some are going to die. Some will be caught off the earth. Amen? Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I want to go to John. This one you ought to get thrilled about. We got to take this one kind of slow. But this it's so clear when you look at it. What God, remember the first miracle that Jesus did when he went to the wedding in Cana and turned the water into wine?
Yes.
This is what we're going to talk about here. Starting in chapter 1 of the book of John, okay?
Thank you, Lord.
We see here, if you look at this real close, in verse 19, Jesus was invited to a wedding. Verse 19 says in chapter 1, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And this was the first day, okay, when he was talking and getting ready to go to this wedding. Now, if we look at verse 29, look at verse 29 now.
That's the next day.
The next day. See what it says?
Yeah.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So this is day two, all right? Now we go to John 1:35, and we have what? We have the third day. Look what it says. Again the next day, which will be the third day, after John stood and two of his disciples, okay? And then we have John 1:43. The day following, Jesus, this is day four, would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. So here's 4 days taken care of. Now let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana. 3 days later there was a marriage in Cana. What day would this be then? This would be the seventh day. Okay? And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jews was called and his disciples to the marriage supper. So what's this all about, the seventh day? It's a picture of what? Yeshua, when he went to this wedding, it's a picture of the marriage supper we're going to have with the Lord in the future on the seventh day. And this was the first miracle that Yeshua did as well. So it's a picture of that. Amen? So if you look at John 2:9-10, it tells you this. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Well, who's the bridegroom here?
Yeshua.
It's Yeshua, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Amen?
Amen.
So on the seventh day, Jesus turned the water into wine. What a picture we have right here of the wedding. So the governor, the master of this wedding, is a picture of God the Father. And, of course, the bridegroom's a picture of who? Of Yeshua and the things that he came to do. I think it's amazing. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to touch on those. We looked up all the scriptures. Now, we got another thought with this. We think about the 7,000-year plan. In Judaism, they break it down into a seven as well. And this is what they show in summary with their Jewish years, is it's divided up in a seven-day Jewish creation week. Their first day one to them is from the year 0001 to 1000. That's day one. Day two then is from the year 1001 to 2000, day two. Day three, 2001 to 3000, day three. Day four, 3001 to four. This was the time that Yeshua was born. after four prophetic days. Now, the fifth day, 4001 to 5000 is day five. And then 5001 to 6000 is day six. We're somewhere in there, right now with us now. And then 6001 to 7000 is day seven. And we want to note that the Jewish thought calls the year of creation year one, not year zero, okay? Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Now, the seventh day is called what? The last day. So we're going to look up a few scriptures here.
Now, people may be saying, wow, Pastor Gene, you're really talking fast, and I can't get this all written down. But everything that he just read is in his book.
It's in the book.
It's on page what?
It's on page five.
Page five. Okay. So everything that he just read, all those numbers, everything, there, it's all in the book. So if you want the book, you know, that's how you're going to get to know more accurate things about dates and calendars.
It's all in here.
And the feasts of the Lord and all these things that Pastor Gene is talking about.
Amen.
Amen.
So now the seventh day is always called in the scriptures, is called what? The last day. So let's go to John chapter 6.
I'm there.
You're already there. We're going to look at these verses about this. When the Jews thought about the last day, they in their mind, it was a period of 1,000 years, okay? Now, we know that the Bible makes it quite clear to us that no one has ever lived, what, to be 1,000 years old. Methuselah was the oldest man, and he came close, but he didn't make it, okay? But let's look at it. Let's first of all read John 6:39.
6:39 says, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day."
Okay, now let's read verses 40.
"And this is the will of him that sent me," which would be the Father, "that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Okay, now look at verse 44.
"And 44 says, and no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Now read verse 54.
Thank
See how many
Father.
Times this is mentioned?
The last day, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Isn't that incredible? Now let's go to chapter 11.
Marvelous.
In John, and I want someone to read verse 24.
"Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day."
At the last day. Okay. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have chapter 12, verse 48 is another one.
Thank you, Lord.
So in their eyes, the last day is a period of 1,000 years, okay?
48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day."
In the last day. So this last day is important, isn't it, huh? Very important.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, we have some rabbinical proof that I thought we might mention here. I have it in my book also, if you get the book, showing this 6 day, 6,000 years of creation, and the seventh day, 7,000 year of rest called the Sabbath rest we're going to have in the future. It's substantiated in many places of the Jewish writings. Not only is it found in the Tanakh, now remember the Tanakh is the entire Hebrew Bible, the Torah and the rest of it. The Torah is only the first five books, and the New Testament as well. It is also found in Jewish writings of the Babylonian Talmud in a large section called Sanhedrin. Now listen to these two things. This was written in the Talmud in 200 B.C. in the Talmud tractate Sanhedrin 97a. Listen to what it says. "The world is to exist 6,000 years. In the first 2,000 years, there was desolation. 2,000 years, the next 2,000 years are saying, the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the Messianic era, which we're in right now."
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Now, another thing that came out of the same tractate in 200 B.C., 97a, is this. It says, "Just as the seventh year is 1 year of release in seven, so is the world. 1,000 years out of seven shall be fallow, as it is written." And so we're going to have a rest after when we come to this beginning of this seventh millennial. It's going to be a rest, a Sabbath rest. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And it's further said, a psalm and a song for the Sabbath day, meaning the day that is altogether Sabbath. And it also said, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it was past.
Hallelujah.
So we have all that way back in 200 B.C. Amen? Mm-hmm. So I just want to talk on that a little bit. And we're going to slip into some understanding about the Passover.
Amen.
This is what's important. So, you know, we're coming up on this. It's not too far away now. So I want to take you over to Exodus chapter 12. And, you know, we mentioned last week, we talked a little bit about Joel chapter 2, verse 23, where it said he was going to give us the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Well, this is prophetic, showing us Yeshua's first coming and also his second coming. It's all prophetic right there. And so the key thing we want to talk about here with the Passover is God brought a new dispensation with Israel at this particular time. And we talked about this a little bit with the calendar, that when they came out of Egypt, they came out on in the month of Nisan. Okay? And so we found out that that was the seventh month on that civil calendar that I talked about last week. But right here in verse 2, look what it says here, Margie. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. So here we go. God's rotated the calendar by 6 months. Now, he didn't change the seasons. We talked about that last week. But he changed the number on the month.
Yes.
So Nisan now becomes the first month instead of the seventh month. Tishri, instead of being the first month, is going to be the seventh month. And these 2 months are so critical in the rest of the Bible for us to understand it. And so God wants you to know that. And so Jesus himself has to fulfill both of those calendars. Now, we know that the spiritual, the prophetic calendar, he's already fulfilled. When was that? Passover? Feast of Weeks? Okay. Like, let me do it in order. Passover? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then what? Pentecost. So those four, Yeshua has already fulfilled, which represents a period of 4,000 years. And it's interesting, this is the time that he came to the earth. And I've, in my book, I show it. A gentleman did a great study, and I searched it out for a long time, that from the time of Adam until the Yeshua was born of a woman here on this earth, it was exactly 4,000 years. So we have some incredible things that God wants us to know with all of this. And so here we are, and we see this right here in Exodus chapter 12. So God was bringing a new dispensation with Israel. It's basically a picture of the new birth. I'm doing something new with you now. I want you to look at the spiritual side, the prophetic side, and not so much the civil part. And he goes on, verse 3. He says, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to what? The house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And we read down, we can find out it could be a goat as well, a kid. Okay, in the 10th. So what happened on the 10th in the future? We know Yeshua died on Nisan 14.
Yes.
And then we know on the 10th of Nisan, and we just read about here, they had to lay up a lamb in the temple. And they had to examine that lamb for how many days? For 4 days, and then it was killed between the two evenings on the 14th of Nisan. It's incredible. Picture of him. And this is the day, the 10th, was the day that he rode in. Yeshua himself rode in on a donkey, and they were just crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, and all those wonderful things. And it wasn't too long after that, and then they were pulling out his beard and mocking him and making fun of him. But God had this plan, and it was going to go forth whether anybody liked it or not. And so they laid up that lamb on the 10th of the month. Yeshua, his last 4 days before he died, he was in the temple every day. They asked him the hardest questions that he could even ever think about, talking about doctrine and different things, and he brought all the answers. He was a perfect man. He never failed. He never sinned once. And so they had to look at this lamb the same way in the wilderness back in Exodus 12. It had to be perfect. Could have nothing wrong. It tells us in verse 4, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In Judaism, it was around 10 people. They wanted at least 10 people there. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Was Yeshua without blemish?
Yes.
He didn't have one thing wrong. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The evening. Remember we talked about the evening last week? That means between the two evenings.
Yes.
At noon, it's going toward evening. From 3 o'clock down, it's going to evening.
Yes.
So it's between the two evenings. So it shows you that Yeshua had to die at what time? At 3 p.m. Yeah. in the afternoon. And I've said this hundreds of times on this program over these 20-some years, that he was the only man that ever lived that chose the exact moment that he was going to die for you and I. Isn't that incredible when you think
yes.
about it? And then verse 7 says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. They had to eat it in a hurry, didn't they? Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, it means boiled, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall what? Burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's what? Passover. So whose Passover is it? It's the Lord's Passover.
It's the Lord's Passover.
He established that for us. Amen?
Because the Lord passed over the land.
That's right. Sure did, didn't he?
And many people died when he passed over the land.
That's right.
But these people, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, and Jacob's, the family of God that were living there for many, many years. How many years, Pastor Gene, were they living there? Many years.
Many, many years.
400 and some years, was it? They were going to be set free, finally set free, have freedom. And they had to be ready to go with their sandals on their feet and ready to go. And they had everything that they needed to go with, right?
That's right.
Because they were going to leave that land forever to go
That's right.
into the promised land.
That's it.
He's taking them across into a new place, a new land, going a new way.
Place they've never been before.
And
yeah.
you talked about the commandments, the Torah. This is when this all began, because now they started to follow the Lord in a greater way, because Moses heard from God, and Moses received all of these promises and all the Ten Commandments and all the different things. And they set up the temple in the wilderness, and that now they're following the Torah.
That's right.
So now they're learning a different way, because many of those people that were that came out of Egypt, they were born in Egypt.
That's
so
right.
they didn't they,
very little knowledge about
they
the Torah.
Didn't know a lot other right. than what their parents and their grandparents had taught them, you know, because when Joseph went in there, you know, he was things weren't too bad in Egypt, because they were given the best land, Goshen land. But near at this time now, it's terrible, because they're under a cruel rulership, and they're suffering and being beaten and, you know, dying, and just they didn't it was a bad time for them. But
That's
here
right.
now they're going to be delivered, and
That's
this
right.
is a picture of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to remember these things every time we take communion, Pastor Gene and Margie.
That's right.
We are taking the Lord's Passover.
Yes.
Now
right.
everyone calls it communion, but it really is the Lord's Passover, and we're to remember him.
That's right.
Because he's
never forget it. We'll be doing it forever.
That's right.
That's right.
Now we talked about the 14th day. Well, did you read that in verse 6?
Nope, go ahead
and
read it.
And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now you're talking about evening, that's in the 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
So the 14th day is the time, that's the 14th day, the 14th of Nisan, because God has now put them on a new calendar starting with Nisan being the first month. And that is the same time that Yeshua died on the cross, the 14th of Nisan.
That's right.
In between the evenings at 3 p.m.
So this is a big chapter 12. I think it's got 51 verses in it, very important. Now, you mentioned a moment ago about them being in bondage for 400 years. In chapter 12 we're in, verse 40 says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwell in Egypt was 430 years. Well, most people just say 400. Well, what's the 30? Where's that come from? And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I have a note in my Bible I wrote years ago. The 400 years started from the promise given to Abraham over in Genesis 15, verses 17 and 18. That's when it counted. That's why they counted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing we want to remember here, too, as we talk about the Passover. Remember, the Passover was a covering in the first covenant. It never, I want you to remember that some people don't agree with this, but I see it. This Passover was a covering, not a removal. And so they continued to sacrifice animals until the Messiah came and come out of the grave. You can read that over in Romans and all that. Okay? So the Passover was a covering for what? Personal sin. However, the Day of Atonement in the latter part of the year is a covering for what? National sin at that time. So removal is seen in Romans 3:25 through 28. And let's look at that. Let's go to Romans. And you go there, Margie, and Donna, you want to go? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. We'll look these things up and read the scriptures. God.
Romans
3. Uh-huh. Romans 3:25 through 28.
Whom God hath set forth.
Hallelujah.
To be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time,
mm-hmm.
his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then?
Yes.
It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
That's right. It's not legalistically. It's by what? By faith. It always has been.
Amen.
Now, I'm also going to take you now to Hebrews chapter 9.
Okay, I have it.
Okay. You want to read it? Starting in verse 14.
Oh, I was going to start in verse 11, if that's
okay,
all right.
Okay, go right ahead.
It says, but Christ being come at high priest. So now we have a high priest, the high priest that's going to be the high priest forever. Because, you know, they in Judaism, the high priest would die, and then there'd be another one, and then there'd be another one, and then there'd be another one. But no, mm-hmm. this is the one and only. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves,
hallelujah,
but by his own blood. He entered in once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Yes.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the and heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. He is the one who is in, he's a mediator for us. Amen.
Yes. Sure is.
Yes.
That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. And you always like to talk about for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
That's right. Somebody has to die. A will can't be fulfilled or completed until the person that wrote the will passes away.
Yes.
And then they look into the will, don't they, huh?
Yes.
Very important. Okay.
So it's by his blood.
By his blood. No other way.
One and only.
That's it.
No animals.
That's right.
But you know, they're going to start sacrificing again. They're even talking about some people are doing it in Israel now. You know, and they have all the, they're calling all the priests, the Kohens, because they're getting ready to set up that third temple. You know, and this could be happening very shortly.
That's right.
We really need to watch
and pray.
Keep our eyes on right. Israel. And even Pastor, listen to me. Even President Trump talks about the Third Temple, and he plans on being part of it, I believe. So he's for Israel. I mean, how many other presidents have said they were, but you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. You know, he's a doer.
Yes.
He's done things. He's already moved the into Jerusalem. He's doing things that other people say they're going to do, but they never seem to do them.
They never got it done, did they? It was all talk, a lot of rhetoric.
That's right.
Amen.
So we need to pray for our president, don't we? Because he has connected himself with Israel in a way that I don't believe anyone else has in the past.
That's right. None have. That's right. He's got a tremendous relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. So aren't we glad?
Yes.
Amen.
So we pray for both of them. You know, I was thinking about the things in Nisan. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, it says, "On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of congregation in the wilderness." And then verse 17 of that chapter says, "And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year now," after they came out of the captivity with the Egyptians, "on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was" what? "Reared up." So it says the first month in the second year. So what was the first? What would the first month be here? It's the month of Nisan.
Yes.
The calendar's been changed. On the first day of the month. So that was on Nisan 1 that the tabernacle was reared up. And it tells you that in also chapter 40 there, verse 2. So some interesting things. Amen. Now I was going to share this with you, thinking about the Passover, because we know that it brought a new dispensation with Israel. And God had three appointed times that he required all the males to come to Jerusalem. We know it was at Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and at Tabernacles. Well, Passover is very important because it started the whole thing. And this is, of course, showing the picture and the pattern when Yeshua was going to come. And these festivals I just mentioned, Passover, Feast of Weeks, and Tabernacles, these are all harvest festivals. But I want to show you something here. You know, Israel was actually owned by the Pharaoh while they were in Egypt those 400 years. It tells us that in Genesis 47, 13 through 19. But I'm gonna take this out of my books so I don't tell you wrong, but this is very important. If somebody wants to turn there, we might just read that in Genesis 47, 13 through 19. And then I can read this, okay?
47,
19? Uh-huh, 13 through 19.
"And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations."
It's incredible, isn't it? It's wonderful.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
A multitude of nations.
That's right. So, you know, we think about these 400 years that Israel was in captivity with the Egyptians. You know, there was a lot of pharaohs during that time. There had to be.
Yes.
But all of them owned him until something happened. I want to bring this to your attention out of my book. And I said here, Moses was to ask a pharaoh to allow God's people to go into the wilderness for 3 days to sacrifice unto their God. And he asked it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. These 3 days were very significant for Israel and prophetically for the church today as well. Let's look at 8 aspects of the 3 days. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. The first one, the length of time Yeshua was in his tomb. How many days?
Three days.
The next one, Pharaoh's ownership was broken over God's people when he finally allowed them to go 3 days' journey for the purpose of holding a feast unto the Lord. This is in Exodus 5:1. Now, next thing, because Pharaoh hardened his heart, means he sinned against God. You know, it's a word picture of Satan, of course. We see that happen. Went after Israel for what? After the 3 days. Next thing, if Pharaoh had kept his word to God, Moses would have been obligated to return to Egypt. After how long? After the 3 days. And why? Because God cannot lie. Next thing, Pharaoh transgressed his own commandment of telling Israel if they could go these 3 days and then be changed, and then he changed his mind and began to pursue God's people. Therefore, he was responsible for his own death. And there's a lot of places revealing this, especially in Psalms 136 and so on. So Pharaoh did die in the Red Sea. Next thing, why did they ask to go 3 days into the wilderness? Good question.
Yes.
Because Moses was even afraid of the Egyptians, knowing that sacrificing a lamb was an abomination to the Egyptians. He did not want to anger Pharaoh and his people. And this is revealed in Exodus 8:25-28. The next, got two more. The key thing we must understand is that the ownership of God's people had to be broken before they could ever leave Egypt. When was the power ownership by Pharaoh broken? Somebody turn to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, 26 and 27 reveals that when Pharaoh died, the ownership was over. Satan had no control over what was going on with Israel at that point. Amen?
What is the verse?
14, 26 and 27. Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
There you go.
Killed them all.
That's when it was broken. Amen. Now, as we get ready to close here, we only got a few more minutes. I talked about the three appointed times that God had all the males come, but we're talking about Passover today. But I mentioned the other two. Passover is revealed in 12:23. We've already read that in the book of Exodus. So, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Somebody turn to that. It's a blood covering. Is that what happened when Yeshua died and shed his blood? It's a covering on our life, just like when they killed the lamb in the wilderness and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel and stayed in the house. What? They were saved.
That's
and by
right.
the way, there was no death angel mentioned anywhere over there. It was God that did this.
1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold.
Hallelujah.
From your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus,
whoosh,
as a lamb without blemish without spot.
Thank you, Lord. Isn't that precious?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, so God takes care of his enemies.
He sure does.
And God's going to take care of Israel's enemies.
That's
because
right.
Israel has many enemies, doesn't he?
Yes.
But, and I was thinking about what you were saying about Pharaoh in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It's in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 14. It says here, and I, speaking, God is speaking, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
and they shall follow them. They were going to chase after them, Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And why did he do this? And he says here, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen.
Yes.
Amen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of the Israel removed and went behind them, and you go forth, and you know they were being protected. They were being protected. And you said one more thing I was thinking about, Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that, and it in Exodus chapter 40 about the tabernacle being built.
Uh-huh.
And it says in 17, and it came to pass in the first month and in the second, I mean, in the first month in the second year of the first day of the month. So that was a new moon. But it only took them, didn't take them long to get everything ready.
That's right.
To build, to get the tabernacle all up and all these things done. They worked hard, really hard. They had a lot of people. They worked hard.
But it was completed, remember, 2 years after they came out of Egypt.
Right.
Tells you that, yeah.
But just think about this. You know, if you think about in Israel now, they have, what is that name of that place? I can't think of the name of it, but they are building all kinds. They have the menorah made. They have elements made. They're ready to go. They have the clothing. They have the priest clothing. They have all the instruments that they need.
The ephod's been made.
They're ready. They're actually ready. If the temple was set up right now, they could go in there and they could start doing the things that they did in the temple.
That's right.
Before, because they're training people. They're training these people. And they know where all of the ones that I believe they're called the Kohens are, you know. So it's preparation.
That's right.
They're preparing for the third temple that's gonna be there. We may not see the third temple. We may be caught away before the third temple.
Yeah, we might see it being built from heaven, right?
Yeah, we might
get
see
a good
it being
view
built
up there,
from heaven. Amen. Yeah. Since we're talking about Passover, you know, and we're going to be talking about Passover again next week, but Psalm 92 is a Passover psalm.
Yeah.
Psalm 92 is a Passover psalm.
Sure is.
So you guys might want to read that psalm, because it's talking about how we praise the Lord, and you know, he takes care of the enemies, and he's taking care of the enemies of Israel as well, because they have many enemies, and he will take care of them, and he will protect those his children until the very end.
That's right.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Amen.
Well, we have a few more minutes here.
Well, I was thinking here, we're in Exodus 14 where we've been talking. If we look at verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this, after they came out, fear ye not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That word salvation is how we get the word Yeshua. And see the Yeshua of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, just like Donna said a moment ago. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you look at this and follow the dates, when they got to the edge of the Red Sea, it says here that God put a pillar of cloud before and after them to protect them. And then in verse 20, it says, and it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. That means to who? The Israelites. So that one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Just think, God even dried up the ground, didn't he?
They walked across on dry ground.
And then two more verses. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, now this is Nisan 17 now, the morning watch is between 3 and 6 a.m. The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So this shows you the day that Yeshua came out, the day when he rose, and the time of the day.
And it shows the time that he destroyed the works of the devil.
That's right.
You know, even God took off the chariot wheels. Amen.
That's right.
So praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Gene, maybe you'd like to speak to the people out there.
Yeah, I always like to talk
Jesus
to people
to come.
About.
You know, this is a good time to come and right. ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Yeah, this is a very important time of the year. You know, and if you've never asked this wonderful man that came to this earth for you and walked it and never sinned, never failed, died for you. And I always think about that song when he was hanging on the cross. You know, that the thought of the song years ago that they sang, that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And you are always on his mind. God's purpose is that everyone would come, that not one would be lost, that all would come to repentance. And so what a great time to do this during this Passover season. Something new started with Israel. They had it was a picture of the spiritual birthing that was going to come, something new and fresh, to be born again. You can be born again here today. All you have to do is ask the Lord to come into your heart, and you will be born from above. You'll be something new and fresh. The old things all pass away. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all the old things are forgotten, and you move on. So it's an incredible time. And I always think about when Don and I came. We came on the same day, and the beauty of all of it, and the touch that we got from God, and we've never been the same. And if you really have an experience with God and really love Him and want Him more than your next breath, well, He's going to do the same thing for you. He'll reach out and touch you. All you have to do is reach out and call on Him. Say, come unto me, Lord. I need your help. And you know He's always there. He's a ready help in time of need. So we just hope you've done that today. Just ask Him. You know, maybe something stirred you up here about this. You know, and this all started over in Exodus chapter 12 when they laid up the lamb and all, and the calendar was changed and all that. All a pattern of the Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, when He was going to be born hundreds of years in the future. All the facts were laid out early to show people all down through time. And so here we are. Today could be a great day for you. So we pray that you'll do that. If you do, give us a call here at area code 772. And the phone number is...
area code 772-285-7007. We just pray that you've been blessed by this. And I want to mention, too, we have our service this afternoon at 2 p.m. Uh-huh. So at the Alliance Church. Park around the back. Come in the back door. And it's at 2 o'clock, and we will have a little teaching and worship God testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we will worship God and honor Him on the Sabbath day. So come and join us if you can. It's at the Alliance Church on 445
Osceola Street.
Amen. Yeah. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And we just bless you today, and we thank the Lord for you, and we say Shabbat Shalom.
We tell people to look up.
Look up.
Because the redemption draweth nigh. We're going to close out with a shofar blast.
The blast of the shofar. Amen. Glory to God. So have a great day. Shabbat Shalom. Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.